The issue of military spending came up in the late 90s at the IMF, and I was heading a division, and the former managing director of the IMF, Michel Camissou, was very interested in this topic. That was a time when, you know, the Cold War was coming to an end. There was a huge increase in spending during 1970 to 1990, which is what our paper is showing.
Welcome to this podcast produced by the International Monetary Fund. In this episode, military spending and what it means for government budgets.
My name is Sanjeev Gupta, and I'm a senior policy fellow at the Center for Global Development. Prior to that, I was at the IMF for 31 years. And the last 10, 11 years, I spent as deputy director of the IMF's Fiscal Affairs Department.
COVID-19 has left governments across the globe scrambling for revenues and having to reassess their tax and spending policies. For some countries, especially those in conflict areas, spending on defense eats up precious resources that could otherwise go toward other forms of public spending, like education, health, and infrastructure. Economist Sanjeev Gupta says efforts to secure a more peaceful world could have long-term economic benefits. Check out his article on military spending in the June 2021 edition of Finance and Development magazine.
So what made you start thinking about this military spending? I mean, how important is military spending in terms of economic growth?
Well, Michel Camissou always used to ask this question, is this spending productive? And so I started, my interest started at that time when I was heading the division in Fiscal Affairs Department, and we produced a number of papers. And that issue stayed alive for about a couple of years. And then, you know, spending started to decline, the tensions eased up, and we went our own ways. And then closer to the time when I was leaving the fund, we started to revive this issue. We felt we should look at it again. And so what you are seeing in the finance and development is the outcome of those efforts.
Nice. As you mentioned, there has been in recent years a decrease in military spending. How do you explain this decrease in military spending when, you know, the UN is actually saying that conflict globally is on the rise?
Right. So, you know, in the paper that I jointly worked on with Benedict Clements and Saida Kamidova, former IMF colleagues, what we show there is that worldwide military spending has declined by nearly half, from 3.6% of GDP during the Cold War period, which we consider to be between 1970 and 1990, to 1.9% of GDP in the years following the global financial crisis, that is after 2010 and 2019. So we find that military spending in relation to GDP is not converging to a common level in the 138 countries for which we were able to collect data. Rather, it is taking three different paths. And in the first group of countries, that is 20 countries, such spending has risen to a higher level in contrast to global trend. And these countries are experiencing a high level of conflict. And I believe you are referring to this group of countries. The second group of countries comprises 77 countries, of which 30 are advanced. And military spending in these countries has plateaued between 2 and 2.5% of GDP. And their spending has not changed much since early 2000s, and they include China, India, Russia, US, and the United Kingdom. And the third group, which is of 41 countries, the spending there is less than 1% of GDP. So that's the sort of story which we see across the global trends in military spending.
So you talk about that one group that the military spending is actually on the rise.
Right.
Who are the big spenders within that group? Like, what are the countries that spend the most on defense within that group? And is it always in response to a domestic threat, or does it get more complicated than that?
Within this group are countries such as Armenia, Azerbaijan, Oman, Saudi Arabia. And these countries are involved in some form of conflict. And so they are spending a lot more. And there the spending is rising. And of course, Middle East as a region spends more than other regions.
And when we see what's going on these days in the Middle East, unfortunate escalation in violence in Israel, for example, is this something that a country considers when they're planning their budget?
Well, Middle East, as I said to you earlier, the whole region spends a lot more than the other regions of the world. When you compare that with Latin America, they spend more because that is, you know, the region which is viewed as a bit more unsafe than other parts of the world. Mm. So if you start looking at the military budgets of these countries, everybody spends more. And so the average there is about 4.5% of GDP during 2019. So which is substantially higher than what you see in the other regions. In the Western Hemisphere, they are spending in the same period about 1.5% of GDP. So it's it reflects the neighborhood you are living in.
Yeah. And you also make in the article and in your research, you make this correlation between demographics and military spending. And you talk about how aging populations in some economies, especially advanced economies, are actually swaying budgets away from defense spending, while that is not happening so much in developing countries. Why is that?
Well, this consideration is particularly relevant for advanced and emerging economies. And in these countries, population is getting older, and the proportion of population of the working age, that is, those who have retired from the workforce, is relatively large and rising. And so this aging population, coupled with longer lifespans, means that in the future, countries will need to spend more on pensions and health. And we also know that cost of healthcare is rising. So this has to be seen against the political reality in many countries where governments have not been able to reform the pension and health systems as much as one would like to see them do. This means that all other budget categories would face competition from spending on pensions and health, particularly when the scope for raising additional revenue is very limited. But in the case of the low-income developing countries, they too are seeking to allocate a larger share of the budgets to education and health and infrastructure to meet the population's needs and to promote growth. And they're also trying to spend more on sustainable development goals, which requires a major increase in government spending on development of human capital. But in these countries, there is some scope for raising additional revenues. There is a potential. But they have not fully utilized that potential, in part because of some political and institutional constraints. And so in the short term, there's going to be difficulty in raising revenues in both advanced and in low-income countries, which means that there would be pressure on spending categories, including military spending. And that pressure could lead to some interesting budget choices as we move forward.
So this is, after all, an economic study. And so what about return on investment? I mean, can you measure the degree to which a country benefits from military spending and how it might benefit from spending less on the military?
Yeah, that's, again, a very pertinent question. But here one must not forget that military spending is not only an economic issue. It has important political dimensions. And that is why the IMF board has been reluctant to give the IMF staff an explicit mandate in this area. Only when military spending is excessive with clear implications for macro stability in terms of, you know, large and rising fiscal and balance of payments deficits could staff raise the issue with member countries. And this was discussed in board in the 90s, and that didn't prevent the former managing director of the IMF, Michel Camissou, to label excessive military spending as unproductive.
That's interesting. So there is, and you did again touch upon this a little earlier, there's virtually nothing that COVID-19 hasn't disrupted at this point. Has the pandemic put pressure on countries one way or the other in terms of military spending? And do you think it will have a lasting impact?
You see, countries are still trying to figure out the post-pandemic period. But let's start off, look at what happened during the pandemic. So governments across the world adopted stimulus packages in 2020, with those in advanced economies, you know, outstripping those in the rest of the world. Yeah. So what was the implication of that? The debt to GDP ratio in advanced countries increased by 16% of GDP in 2020. In emerging markets, it rose by 10%. And in the low-income developing countries, it went up by 5%. So the high budget deficits that have come about as a result of the pandemic would have to be brought in line with available resources as the pre-pandemic growth resumes, that is, this year and the next year. So in when they do this, the countries will need to reassess their tax and spending policies. So there will be pressure for governments for fiscal consolidation. And if you look at the VO and the projections made in the latest World Economic Outlook, they are assuming that countries will make an adjustment down the line because this is not a sustainable position. But the scope for raising additional revenues in both low-income and developing countries is there, but it's been very hard to raise resources because of political considerations. And there is little scope to do that in the advanced economies. So what that means is that there will be a pressure on spending categories, including military spending in both advanced and developing countries. But then all this can change if global tensions rise.
Absolutely. And let's hope that that does not happen.
Yeah.
Sanjeev Gupta, senior fellow for the Center for Global Development and longtime IMF economist and department head. Thanks so much for this.
Thank you.
You can read Sanjeev Gupta's article on military spending in the post-pandemic era in the June 2021 issue of Finance and Development magazine. Read it online at imf.org/FND or download the Finance and Development app. The IMF has a treasure trove of research, or working papers as they're often called, all yours to discover, including this one on military spending by Sanjeev Gupta, Clemens Benedict, and Saida Kamidova. Check it out at imf.org. And look for other IMF podcasts wherever you get your podcasts. You can also follow us on Twitter at IMF_podcast. I'm Bruce Edwards. Thanks for listening.